Turn to Genesis 8 and verse number 20. We're going to read down through verse 22 here in just a minute. We just sang a song as a congregation says, "This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings, and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas. His hand, the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world. The birds their carols raise. The morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world. He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass, I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems off so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus, who died, shall be satisfied, and earth and heaven be one." I wanted to sing that song before the message tonight because on Sunday nights we're dealing with issues. And I want to deal with a big issue today in society. And that is on the subject of global warming. Global warming. And I wanted to just sing that song as preparatory for the message tonight. This is my Father's world. This is my Father's world. And there is a lot of fear that is being spread around our country and around the world regarding the issue of global warming. And it might just be a small issue to us here tonight who are believers, but it is big. It is national news. It is worldwide news. It is something that is being discussed every single day in certain realms of society, and I think we as believers need to know how to answer this question, and I hope maybe we'll be able to give you a little bit of that answer tonight. And I think we as believers, especially those of you that are fathers and mothers and grandparents, I'm going to give you a couple of illustrations later what I mean, but you need to start sowing some comfort in your children, because there's a lot of outlets out there that are breeding fear in the children. And I think a lot of fear in ignorant people. And so I think we ought to just know a little bit about this subject. Again, some of the issues I deal with on Sunday evenings are not the most important ones. Last week we talked about tattoos. and we got some writing we passed out about that. And another time we talked about ladies' dress and appearance and so on. But let's get into our subject tonight, and then we're going to have the Lord's Supper. We sang, "This is my Father's world." This world belongs to God. It's not Mother Nature. It's Father God. He is the creator and the sustainer of this planet. It's an amazing planet it is. I mean, if you just took yourself a big picture of the galaxy and just took a little pin and maybe just touched that little pin on that big picture of the galaxy, that's as big as this Earth is. It's a really, really small speck of dust in the midst of huge galaxies, and yet it is so important to God. God has always used small things. And it's an amazing planet as our whole galaxy is going in a direction northward, the whole thing, and we're a part of that galaxy. And at the same time, this Earth is spinning once around on its axis every day. And as it's spinning once around on its axis every day, it's taking a 93-million-mile trip around the Earth every year while it's spinning. And while it does that, it wobbles just a certain amount as it goes around on that 93-million-mile trip every year. And that adjusts the sunlight and the heat and tides and so on and so forth and gives us the different seasons. And brethren, that has continued faithful to this day. And one day, God did destroy the earth with a worldwide flood because man had become so evil and so sinful, much like the days of today. But right after the flood, he said these words, and I don't know about you, but I want to anchor my faith and my soul upon the Word of God, not upon supposed science that we hear being talked about in certain outlets that I'll mention later. But I want you to notice a verse that really helps me and just kind of just nails the thing down for my life where I'm not worried about it. I didn't say I'm irresponsible. But I said I'm not worried about global warming. And you ought to teach this to your children or your grandchildren. It says in Genesis 8 and verse 20, and Noah built an altar, rather, unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, God has a heart, amen? I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. Let me read that again. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I smite anymore every thing living as I have done. And here's the verse. Verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and C-O-L-D, cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. Now, I really don't have to say anything more. God has said it all in one verse. It's going to be cold here pretty soon. Now, I know out where my son lived last winter, in Perrysburg, they had over 200 inches of snow. It was like almost an all-time record. And here in Buffalo, we had only 89, a little bit lower than usual. But it's going to be cold. And it's going to be hot. And I believe God is teaching us here in verse 22 that the temperature of this earth is cyclical on a yearly basis. You can take this to the bank that until the end of the earth, there's always going to be a seed time and a harvest. God has said so. There's always going to be cold and heat. There's always going to be summer and winter, and there's always going to be day and night. These shall not cease. Now, global warming today is a big issue in society and a lot of fear has been spread through the human race, especially to those who are biblically illiterate, those who do not know what the Bible says. There's a lot of fear and knee-jerk reactions taking place in many different segments of society. Even among believers in Jesus Christ, you can sometimes hear apprehension in their voices. You know, they really think we're giving off all these CO2 emissions and the world's warming up and pretty soon we're going to destroy ourselves. You got to throw the whole Bible out to believe that. Global warming is the scientific theory today that is being floated by many that our earth is warming to the point where we may be threatened with extinction of human beings, animals, and plant life. It is a theory that propagates that this global warming is being caused by human behavior. In particular, the use of human beings of fossil fuels, that basically means gas, gasoline, diesel fuel. And it seems to me, as I've observed this, The blame for this fossil fuel use especially is falling on Americans in world opinion. We are especially being blamed for it. In particular, the internal combustion engine that's been around for a little over 100 years and the CO2 emissions that are going up into the atmosphere. These extreme global warming alarmists include some scientists, some politicians, some educators, some Hollywood actors, and some rock stars. And I stress the word some. Now, these are the ones, however, who are possessing the microphones, the newspapers, the ones that are getting their message out there on a daily basis. And, you know, it was Adolf Hitler who said that if you tell a lie long enough and often enough, people will believe it. Now, is it a lie? I'm not saying it's a lie. I'm not saying tonight the earth is not warming. But we do not have enough scientific data to prove that it's being caused by CO2 emissions. As a result of all of this global warming theory and even sometimes hype, this has bred fear in many of all ages, and especially in little children and young people growing up who tend to believe everything that is presented to them by educators, by news commentators, by newspapers. They tend to believe it. Now, I want to reflect back on my little life and some of the things that I have been through that caused me today to question this, quote, science, end quote. When I was growing up in the 60s, the big fear back then was a nuclear holocaust. And we heard that. I was just a child, and it scared the willies out of me. It was just a matter of time, and there was going to be a nuclear holocaust and mutual assured destruction. And I remember as a little boy sitting there bug-eyed while teachers espoused this theory to us and thinking, but man, my life is over. I'm never going to live to be an adult. And certainly this is true. And what's the matter with us Americans that we are provoking Russians to get into a contest with us and so on and so forth. And I remember in school watching the movie Fail Safe, where we were all herded into a big auditorium and they showed the movie Fail Safe, which was all about mutual assured destruction in Russia and America. And finally they did press the buttons and they were destroyed and we were destroyed. And bye-bye, kids. Go home now. We'll see you tomorrow. The 1962 movie On the Beach that was the Hollywood stars of the day, one of those epic movies with all kinds of Hollywood famous stars in it, On the Beach, about the little submarine that arrived in Australia and, of Americans during World War II, some war, and how America had been completely destroyed by nuclear radiation. So they decided to take the sub up to America, and they stopped in San Francisco, and they got out, and they showed all these pictures of San Francisco abandoned, and every person in America dying, and then they get in the sub, and they go back to Australia, and it's just a matter of time because of the radiation of the Americans is beginning to spread all over the world, and it won't be long, and it's down there in Australia. And the Americans get off the submarine and they go to Australia and they show about how different people reacted on the last couple days of their life, and finally the radiation got there and all human life was destroyed. It says on the back of the jacket of that movie that this movie should serve as a warning to all ages, and by and you watch that and you're like, whoa. Man, more people have fallen off of cliffs in Zora Valley than have been destroyed by nuclear power. But that's what I grew up with. That was the 60s. Then the 70s came, and we had the new ice age coming. Science, all over the television, all over the newspapers. Science. Science Magazine, December 10th, 1976, warned of, quote, extensive northern hemisphere glaciation. Science Digest, February 1973, reported that the world's climatologists all agreed that we must prepare for the next ice age. The Christian Science Monitor, August 27, 1974, reported that glaciers have begun to advance. Growing seasons in England and Scandinavia are getting shorter, and the North Atlantic is cooling down about as fast as an ocean can cool. Newsweek, April 28, 1975, this is when I'm a senior in high school, that meteorologists are almost unanimous that catastrophic famines will result from global cooling. And that the New York Times, September 14, 1975, said, quote, may mark the return to another ice age. This was the 70s. This was science. This was unanimous agreement. Climatologists. We're all dead. The 70s. Remember the ALR scare, a much smaller issue. But it affected us. And they say you're treating all the fruit trees with ALR. And this is going to cause widespread cancer throughout America, and of course it was always just America. And the ALR scare, and it almost put, it did literally put many apple growers around Western New York out of business. And then they found later it's absolutely harmless to human beings after the damage was done. This is science. Remember the pollution of the lakes and the rivers? Lake Erie's dead. You'll never catch a fish in Lake Erie again as long as you live. Remember that? All the tourism along Evans died because of scientists who said all the Great Lakes are polluted, all because of human beings, especially American human beings, and the Hudson River will never have life in it, and this is going to spread everywhere. You remember those things? Some of you do. You're nodding your heads. You'll never catch a bass fish in Lake Erie again as long as you live. Don't swim in it. You'll get all kinds of diseases and so on. I remember those things. Are we seeing a pattern here? A pattern that I grew up with that made me begin to become skeptical of some scientists. You remember the theory of evolution? Do you remember being taught that as fact? Do you remember going through high school, those of us that went to the public high schools, and learning Darwinian theory of macroevolution? I was one that grew up thinking this was indisputable fact. I mean, here's my biology teacher right in front of me telling me this. And here's the charts. Here's the geological timetable. Here's the evolution of man. The chart, you know, the Peking man, the Neanderthal man, blah, 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 all of them right up to it. And there it is. It's right there in front of you, right in front of your eyes, right in the textbook. Remember that? And then I heard some scientists who didn't have the microphones of the world, didn't have the biology and chemistry departments in high schools and college, and didn't have their findings recorded in the newspapers. But all of a sudden, I began to hear another story from these scientists that began to disprove aging techniques. They presented the geological timetables as circular reasoning, which is not science. Circular reasoning. And they could not explain symbiosis. The amazing work, I believe, of God on earth, where living things are all dependent on each other for existence. Even the problem with the bees this year, and learning as I was keeping an eye on that subject, as many bees were dying, that bees are required for the pollination of over 90 different types of plants and fruits. Symbiosis indicates that, and there are just literally thousands and thousands and thousands of examples of symbiosis where we're all dependent on other living things and so on and so forth for our existence. We, you know, humans got to have water, for instance, so we got to have rivers and lakes and clouds and so on and so forth, and trees, whatever they give off, and we take in, and we give off something, they take it in, and so on. You know that stuff a whole lot more than I do. Symbiosis. That these things could not have evolved at different times and become complementary to each other, but they were required all at once. And then when they showed me, and I think one of the things that was so upsetting to me was when a real scientist took me through that chart. You remember the chart with the guys? A bunch of monkeys standing up and turned out a human being on the one end of it. And how many of them were proven to be hoaxes. Hoax after hoax after hoax after hoax by proud scientists who wanted to believe Darwinian macroevolution. And they would take the tooth, for instance, of a extinct pig, and from one little tooth, they would create a man who looked like a half monkey, half man. And they'd put him on a chart, and they'd show him to millions and millions and millions of children year after year after year, still doing the same thing to this day. Those things that have been proven to be scientific hoaxes. So I'm saying these things about the nuclear holocaust and the Allard scare and the global cooling scare of the 70s and macroevolution still going on today and the pollution of the lakes and the rivers and so on and so forth. I'm saying these things because as a result I have become skeptical of some scientists. And so a few years ago when we started hearing this global warming, global warming, global warming, global warming, global warming, I began to think of all these other things that I had heard and it scared the willies out of me. Or overthrew my faith in the Bible, or attempted to. And I began to say, wait a minute, now I'm not going to just jump on the bandwagon here and say this is real science. These events in my life have made me question the dogmatic scientific statements and scientists who seem to come across especially from the left wing of society. Now, no real scientist has a problem being questioned. Did you know that? No real scientist has a problem being questioned. We don't have a problem as Christians being questioned on whether we believe in creationism and why we do. We should be able to answer that question. We're not afraid of science. We're not afraid of true empirical science. We're not, as believers in the Bible. Now, there are many scientists today who question global warming. There are many other scientists today who believe that global warming is cyclical. That maybe it was cooling in the 70s and now it's warming in our day and age, and then it's going to be cooling again and warming, and it's just cyclical. The problem with science is that we only have about 130 years of temperature readings in all of human history to gauge an accurate study on, and that's not enough years to be accurate. Of the 10 warmest years in the 130 years that we have been keeping temperature readings, or approximately 130 years, of the 10 warmest years on record, four of them were in the 1930s. 1931, 1938, 1939, and the hottest year ever in American history, 1934, or worldwide history, 1934. Of the top 10, only one has registered in the since the turn of this century, in the 2000s. That happened to be last year, 2006. The average temperature of the Earth, and I'll tell you in a minute how they come up with this, has increased in the past 50 years. It has increased from an average of 51 degrees to 51.5 degrees in the last 50 years. Now, I personally believe God made this earth sturdy enough to endure that. As for car emissions, today only 38 out of every 100,000 molecules in the atmosphere are CO2. Only 38 out of every 100,000 molecules in the atmosphere are CO2, carbon dioxide. In 5 years, at the rate of emissions, if we do not cut back on emissions coming out of cars and ships and boats and airplanes, in the next 5 years, it is estimated that the rate of emissions will increase from 38 out of 100,000 molecules to 39 out of 100,000 molecules in the atmosphere will be CO2. And I got a feeling our atmosphere is sturdy enough to handle that. Man contributes 4% of the Earth's greenhouse gases, CO2. 96% of the CO2 that is contributed to the atmosphere is by animals, volcanoes, and other ways that the Earth burps. 96%. Of the 4% of the Earth's greenhouse gases that human beings contribute to, 1/4 of those, or 1%, is caused by Americans. 1% of the Earth's greenhouse gases, CO2, are caused by Americans. More is caused by cow flatulence than all the CO2 emissions of man's inventions. Now, you don't hear this in the newspapers. You don't hear this on the radio, on the television. You got to dig pretty deep to find out this stuff. There's an organization in Arizona called the Arizona Data Systems Research Institute. The Arizona Data Systems Research Institute. They are considered to be the living experts on temperature readings in the world. Why? This institute records 12,000 temperature readings per day from different points all over the earth. Their conclusion, now this is old, this is from 1999, I just told you something a little earlier that contradicts this slightly. Their conclusion in 1999, as reported by Paul Harvey. You ever hear Paul Harvey? All right. America Data Systems Research Institute, here was their conclusion in 1999, quote, there has been no global warming in 37 years, end quote. Now, those are people that ought to know. Now, maybe it has increased a half a degree since that time they came out with that study. Maybe it is 51.5%. I'd like you to turn, keep your place here. I'd like you to turn for a moment over to 1 Timothy. What I'm trying to say is this. In 1 Timothy 6, we have this tiny little insight that the Apostle Paul told a young preacher named Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 20, he said this, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. In Timothy's day, there were oppositions to the Bible and oppositions to Christianity of science falsely so called. There have always been an element, not all, but an element of scientists who have opposed Ptolemy. He said the Bible was foolishness because the Bible said the stars can be numbered. He says that's ridiculous. There's 1,028 stars. And he was a world-renowned scientist around Christ's era. And then he found a few more, and when he died, he said there was 1,056. And many people just believed the scientists rather than the scriptures. But today, what do we know about stars? You can't number them. Only God can number them. He's not only got them numbered, he's got them named. Pretty great God we have. He won't forget about you. He's got a good memory. There is something in the Bible called pseudoscience. Now, I'm not promoting Rush Limbaugh, but back on July 18th on his show, he recited a study where they studied the last 100 years of media outlets. The last 100 years of media outlets. And there's a study, and I got to look it up. I'd like to find more information and present it to you. But it shows in the last 100 years of major media outlets, especially newspapers, but then also as the TV came along and the anchors at night, Walter Cronkite, and all those trustworthy people who never, they never lie to us. They never would. Look at them. They're there in suits and ties. They look like honest people. And for 100 years, there's been a study of media outlets that shows how they've been left-leaning, using science to affect the outcome of election after election after election after election after election after election in this country for the last 100 years, using pseudoscience. Now, my opinion is this, that this global warming crisis that has been perhaps invented, now maybe it is, cyclical, maybe it has warmed up a half a degree. But when you have former Vice President Al Gore making a movie on this and then going into school after school after school to show this to little children, that offends me. And I believe the fear that a man like him and others breed ought to be countered by the comfort Christians breed in our boys and girls. We ought to say to our boys and girls, don't you worry, kids, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. And it seems to me that they invent crises when they can't win on issues. They invent crises that breed fear in people. And folks, it's one of the oldest tricks in the book. Fear gets people out to the ballot box. If you don't vote for us, this particular political party is going to let all of the Great Lakes get polluted and all the fish are going to die and the Hudson River is going to die and this political party is no good, so you vote for us. This political party, you know, President Reagan, he's got his finger on the button right now. He can't wait to start a nuclear war. Remember those things? global cooling, global warming. And you just watch how this issue just picks up more and more and more steam right until the elections next year in 2008. And you mark it down, this is going to be a major issue in debate. And there's going to be a particular political party that's going to say, you vote for us, or this party is going to destroy the world by their pro-capitalistic driving around SUVs and jets and ships and so on and so forth. They're going to destroy the world with their CO2 emissions, but we're going to control it, so you vote for us. And all kinds of people are going to go like zombies in fear to the ballot box saying, I don't want the world to be destroyed. I want to save it for my children and grandchildren. What lever do I pull? See, there is an anti-capitalistic spirit in America. But the capitalistic spirit is the Christian spirit, where God blesses those who work hard. There is an anti-American spirit in this global warming, the undertones. The, what some people call the Blame America First Party. Blame us for everything. And most important, there is an animist spirit in this global warming initiative. Animism is a very powerful and growing religion in our country. Animism is the religion, the belief that animals, trees, rocks, and even the earth itself has a soul. And no, it doesn't. I studied this book out. I took the word soul every time it's found in this Bible over 150 times, and not one time is it ever ascribed to an animal or a plant or a tree. It's something unique to man. God formed man out of the dust of the earth. And God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We have a soul. Animals are a dichotomy, and they have a body and a spirit. I understand that. You kick a dog and he's going to yelp. He's going to feel bad. You yell at him. They get mad. They get angry. They go crazy. You see that in animals. They got a spirit. They don't have a soul, though. They don't have a relationship with God. But man has a soul. Therefore, every man has a capacity to have a relationship with God. And this animist religion is just growing and growing and growing. And it has resulted in the worship of this earth and the things of this earth. And we as Christians are their enemy, because we believe in God and what God said. And they don't. The Christian position agitates them. They think we are irresponsible. They think we believe in polluting the earth. We are not animists. We are Christians. But what is our position? And this is going to go real fast. But I'm going to write you seven things. I'm going to give you seven things if you want them, write down. This will be real fast and then we'll close. Number one, the earth is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's. Psalm 21 and verse 1. 24 and verse 1. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. This earth belongs to the Lord. Number two, man is the steward of this earth. We are to take care of this earth. We are to take care of the animals. We are to take care of the plants. We are to take care of the earth. Genesis 1, verses 24 through 30, God made everything and he gave man dominion over it. He said, subdue it, bring it under your control. I've made this, now you be the good stewards of it. So we do believe as Christians in being good stewards of this earth. Number three, the Lord flooded the earth one time. 4,400 years ago, the Lord flooded this earth. It was in the days of Noah. Much scientific evidence indicates that this earth was once under a worldwide flood. Even the evidence of fossils being found as high as the top of Mount Everest that when the earth and the waters receded, fossils settled on the top of that. Unless somebody took them up by the bushel basket and having wanted to fool people, start spreading them all over something. There are over 200 different legends of a worldwide flood besides the Christian story in the Bible. There are over 200 different legends of a worldwide flood in history besides the story of Noah and the Ark. There is much biblical, and you can read the biblical account in Genesis 7, verses 11 through 12. But there is much science that indicates, I believe that's how the Grand Canyon was made. Not by some tiny little Colorado River going through it for 100 million years. Why didn't the Mississippi River do the same thing? That's more powerful. Number four, after the flood, God promised that there would always be heat and cold. Number four, after the flood, God promised that there would always be heat and cold until he ended the earth. Look again at our text. I'll read it and then we'll go on. Genesis 8, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease, as long as the earth remains. I'll come back to that one, but number five, there will be a millennial reign of Christ on this earth for 1,000 years. Revelation 20, verses 1 through 7. We're not going to destroy this earth. Christ didn't come back yet to rule and reign. There will be a millennial reign of Christ on this earth. Number six, the earth will then be melted down in God's time. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. And then number 7, God will make a new heaven and a new earth. 2 Peter 3, verse 13. There's always going to be heat and cold until God ends the earth. Just take God at his word. Tell your kids that. Especially you that send your kids to public school. You better arm them with some truth. They're going to live in fears you don't know anything about. Better arm them with some truth. My wife lives her life based on the reports of the Farmer's Almanac. No, just kidding. But she pays attention to the Farmer's Almanac. It's amazing with their track records, like, I don't know, 85, 89% accurate. I don't know how they predict. They're predicting a cold winter coming up here. They said, do not put away your long johns. Or what else? Or snow shovel. We got a cold, hard winter coming up. I don't know. The Farmer's Almanac has been pretty accurate. I don't know where they get their information from. It might not even be scientific. They might stick a stick out in the wind or something, watch the thing bend in a certain direction. But you can mark it down. I just wanted to give you some comfort tonight. And if anything, if you forget everything I said tonight, and my facts or my science or my reports, they might, I don't know if they're all accurate. I don't know if everything I was saying was scientifically accurate. And I tried to be accurate, but if you could just leave here and learn Genesis 8:22. Just get Genesis 8:22 up on your wall at home. So here it is, kids. The news report said this, but here's what the Bible says. The newspaper said this. Here's what the Bible says. Here's what they said in school today. Here's what the Bible says. You know, we need to comfort God's people. So it's part of the ministry. It's part of being a father and a mother. It's part of being a grandparent. It's comforting your kids. And I'm telling you, some of these scientists scared the willies out of me growing up. I mean, scared the willies out of me, but not no more. I'm not going to let them do it anymore. I'm going to just say, no, this is my Father's world. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. I'm going to try to take care of it. I'm going to try to be a responsible human being. take care of the plants and the animals the best I can, not pollute, recycle, all those things we can do. But I'm not going to live in fear. He hasn't given us the spirit of fear. But the sure promises of the Word of God. Now let's bow for prayer.